Hey, everybody. Welcome to episode 10 of the Human Values Podcast. My name is Javier Payano, and this is Luisa Fernanda. Luisa, how are you doing?
I am doing really good, Javi. How are you doing today?
I'm doing good. You know, some ups and downs. I am teaching high schoolers in May, so you know how that goes. We're having the best time, and also I am ready for vacation.
I hear you.
But still having a lot of really great deep conversations with students, and it just reminds me of why we do this work. So I'm grateful for that, for getting to be a teacher, for getting to inspire the youth, and super grateful for us to be able to sit down and have an awesome conversation tonight all about super important, super valuable topic, forgiveness. Mm-hmm. So already people's feathers might be getting a little ruffled. Ooh, forgiveness. I feel like it's like a hot topic, like a divisive thing, you know? So we're going to get into an exploration of that. I just personally have discovered, I feel like, a deeper meaning of forgiveness that served me, and I'll tell a little story about that. So, but first, we just want to welcome everybody here. This is a podcast where we are talking about education and human values. We're here for the kids. So we're very parent-focused, very teacher-focused in our organization. And we're here because we believe that every child, every human being has goodness within them. But there are so many negative influences around us that we need some kind of practice that helps us to bring forth the love, the truth, and the peace and the nonviolence that we all know we can live by. So we're so grateful to be able to have these conversations, and we want to share this with as many people as possible to really change the way that we're raising our kids so that they can be courageous and make an impact in the world and make the world a better place. So let's start with a grounding exercise. I don't know how you're landing here tonight, but for me, I need a little heart high five. So we're just going to do a little tapping on our heart area. You can do, caress, sobar, your heart space. Or even just have your hand resting. We're going to do this for 30 seconds. And within these 30 seconds, you could think of something useful to your brain and body, like, all is well, I am safe, I'm amazing, I can do anything. Let's just do that for 30 seconds starting right now. Take a deep breath in and out. Wiggle your fingers, wiggle your toes, stretch out your arms and legs, stretch in any way that feels good. It's so great to be together again.
Ooh, how's that feel, Queen? 30 seconds of my life.
Oh, yeah, that wasn't 30 seconds. I probably felt the pressure of like, what? It's a silence for 30 seconds on the podcast? I'm not grounded. I need another round, but let's just keep moving forward. So the idea of forgiveness is an interesting one for me. I think it's a very important thing to talk about when we're talking about our kids as a teacher in the classroom. I see how quickly things can escalate, how conflict happens, and that students in general, it's a challenge to have the tools for conflict resolution, right? So we have that kind of traditional notion of what forgiveness is. Someone does something to you and then like, hey, say you're sorry. Oh, okay. Yeah, that's kind of how like we, you know, like force forgiveness a little bit. So I think that's already a challenge with having a good relationship with forgiveness. What even is forgiveness, right? And who is it for? So The episode title is Forgiveness is for Me. And that's going to be a little bit of a hint already. So if you're okay with this, Luisa Fernanda, I'm going to go into my story right now. This is a very deep personal story, and it's about my older brother, David Jr., DJ. So I'll start by just sharing my earliest memory was in Dominican Republic with my older brother, DJ, playing The Legend of Zelda on the original NES, baby, woo! And like being so excited, and you know, he was such a great guy. He taught me about video games, of course, taught me about music. He was the one who introduced me to Michael Jackson and Nirvana and all these amazing artists that I love. He He was super funny, loved comedy, and he made fun of me relentlessly, which I didn't appreciate when I was younger, but it's, you know, that's a part of building relationships and getting along and learning to not take yourself seriously. So I learned a lot of incredible things from him, how to live, really. He was a great example for me. So he had moved to Tucson. This was in my last year in college. And he was living in Tucson. He had gotten engaged. So he packed up his apartment. He put all his boxes in his car. And he was getting ready to move in with his fiance. If you've ever been to Tucson, it's such a beautiful town. It is in Arizona. It's surrounded by mountains. It's just like, it's like picturesque. So beautiful. Mm. So he takes the scenic route. He's driving along, stops at a red light. Then the red light turns green. He goes. And then unfortunately, someone slams into his driver's side door, who seemed to not even put the brakes on. And he unfortunately passed away on the scene. Now, I'll never forget my mom's voice when she got the phone call letting her know what had happened. It's just still in my mind. And I, in the days and weeks after that, was kind of just like, you know, walking in a haze. I've talked about this before, I'll talk about it again, but like I already at that time was like very people pleasery and Mr. Cheerful. Mr. Cheerful is something I call this version of Javier, who was like, I have to be cheerful so that other people around me can be happy, right? So that's how I was showing up. I was showing up to school. I was already teaching in an after-school program, so I was showing up to my students and just being Mr. Cheerful, you know. But my good friends, they were like, wait, what's going on? Like, they could see through the veil, right? So I'm grateful for those friends. But I was just doing my best to keep it together at that point, dealing with the grief, with the pain, with the loss. And then something transformative happened shortly after that. I don't remember if it was like a post on Facebook or a group chat with me and my family members. I didn't really vibe with what my family members were saying, but it got somewhat aggressive and even violent in terms of the speech of like, ooh, we better never run into that woman. Like if we ever find her, we're gonna, you know, beat her up or whatever they were saying. And I just like, I understand, like they're grieving too. Like it was DJ, he was an amazing guy. But something in me was like, no, this is not the way. And this is before I ever heard about human values, you know, like I was doing, you know, my spiritual practice and meditation and all that stuff, right? So I was in the flow of this kind of way of thinking, but this was before human values. I just instinctively was like, I do not want to harbor this anger and this hate for the rest of my life. And in that moment, from some intuition or something in me, was just like, I forgive that woman for killing my brother. And now when I say I forgave her, I'd never talked to her. Right? I never saw her in person. I never, you know, I forgave her, not for her. I forgave her in my heart. Because even then I knew instinctively, like, if I don't forgive her, I'm going to carry this rancor, this anger, and I'm not going to be able to live my life and enjoy my life. And if I think about my brother, someone who, that's how I learned to live and to be alive, was from him. That's what he would have wanted. He would have wanted me to forgive and to be happy. So I made that decision in my heart to forgive this woman. Again, I never talked to her. And I think that's where we get into like, what is traditional forgiveness versus, let's call this radical forgiveness, which is a book by Colin Tipping that I recommend everyone check out. So beautiful. traditional forgiveness is kind of this like condoning the action. Like, oh, it's, what do people say? It's like, oh, I'm so sorry. Oh, it's okay. Right? That's like the common response. It's okay. No, that's not, we're not saying that the action was okay. We're not even saying it for them to feel better, which is the other thing. It's like, oh, don't worry. You're good. You're like, it's not to pacify the other person's feelings. It's literally you're forgiving them for yourself so that you can let go of that pain and that anger and that hate, and it's not stored in your body, and then you can go on living your life. So I'll pause there with lots of gratitude for you, Lisa Fernanda, and everyone listening. It's just it's a really important story and a really big turning point in my life. And yeah, I don't know if you share this view of this more radical kind of forgiveness. You know what I mean?
I mean, I know you were telling me we're going to go deep, but I know that your brother had passed, but I don't think I've ever heard you tell this story. And like when you were sharing it, I could just feel all of the tears come up to my eyes. Mm. And I think, again, even if you did never forgave her, I don't think anyone could blame you for not doing it. Like, again, he was about to move in with his fiance, like, again, just this pivotal point in his life, and just like that to just be gone. I feel, I can't believe that you were just able to forgive her like that. Like, forgiveness for me is something that has been very difficult. I remember growing up, like, I did not like to say I'm sorry. That was very challenging for me to, and I didn't like to hear it. Even like now, I'm like, keep moving. Don't tell me you're sorry. Just don't do it again. Like that, I prefer to move that way. So this thought of, you know, what forgiveness really is and what it looks like and how it feels in the body. And I love that you're saying it's not for the other person. I've never spoken to her. It's not for her to feel better. That's not to justify, to make it okay. It is to release that emotion that you're right, that if you don't release that anger, you don't release that hatred, you will manifest some sort of disease somewhere in your body because the energy gets stagnant there. So like it is really for ourselves. I think, again, it's easier with simpler things. I think with what you're talking about, it's challenging. It's not for the faint of heart to just let it go so easily.
Yeah. What do you think is it that makes forgiveness so hard? Is it like people's like pride, like, you know, or fear of, I don't know, losing control or something like that, you know, in your experience? It's like, you know, this was an intense example, but like, yeah, even like kids fighting, right? Like you're fighting with your brother or whatever it is, like it can be really hard to forgive.
Yeah, I think it can be like ego. It's a little bit of pride, a little bit of like just sometimes like for me, like it's admitting that you were wrong. It's accepting that accountability that, you know, you did, you know, mess up. But I think it's also understanding that we are human and that we will make mistakes. And I think there is that like normal of, yeah, I did make a mistake and I'm sorry and I won't do it again. I think, like you were saying, most of the time in the common world, you overuse it all the time. Like somebody, we bump into people, it's like, I'm sorry, or like, I'm sorry. And I have a contraction with those words specifically. Like, I'm sorry, because I'm not a sorry, you know what I mean? So for me, that's like, it's specifically the wording that I have such a contraction to, and the amount of times that I hear people just apologize or like, I'm sorry that I share too much. I'm sorry that I like interrupted you. And it's like,
yes, this is so good. This feels like a lot like the over apologizing thing. It feels like this is very common for me too, right? Like I experienced that and I used to do that a lot more. And what I share with students is like, instead of over apologizing, usually I say like, there's nothing to forgive, right? Like you didn't do anything wrong. You know, and that's that kind of situation. There's nothing to forgive. You could always say, instead of I'm sorry for being late, I like to pivot to thank you for your patience. Find a way to say it in a gratitude way, because that honors you and the other person a lot more. The shame piece for me is really interesting, because I think Brené Brown had a really good definition of shame, which is the fear of losing community. So maybe sometimes that apologizing can be like a way to like, are we still good? Like, I don't want to lose community with you, right? And then why forgiveness can be why you're asking for forgiveness, that can be difficult. Admitting you're wrong can be difficult, because if you're wrong, you might lose community. And so that to me points to something that I've been talking a lot about at school. Have you heard of psychological safety? Mm-hmm. So psychological safety, as I've understood, is the ability to disagree with someone else, especially if they're an authority figure, without fear of reprisal. The sense that if I disagree with someone or I criticize with someone, that they're not gonna attack back. So if you're in a situation, like if, you know, you're a supervisor over employees, or you're a parent, you know, with your children, or a teacher with your students, you know, if you are getting this sense that the students aren't saying everything to you, or they're hiding things or holding things back, they might just not feel safe, you know, sharing those things. So a lot of the work that we're doing is about making it safe to share things, even if you disagree. So, and then for the community piece, the shame, we're afraid of losing community. We don't want to be wrong. And that's where we want to do these rituals, where we build community, where we build open spaces, where we build that psychological safety with the people that we love or that we work with, so that there's like, no, you're not going to lose community with me, you know? So there's a lot of different ways we can do that, but essentially it's about opening up and making it safe to opening up and share what you really think. So I appreciate that we're having this conversation right now. And yeah, and then it can be hard to forgive, because traditionally, I think a lot of it is just it's easier to ghost each other, right? It's like easier to just be like, you know what, I'm just not going to talk to this person. That's, you know, and we're at the end of the day coming back to relationship skills. What are the relationship skills that we have? And that's just coming up over and over again for our kids. We want to make sure that they have good relationship skills. So when we're talking to our kids, especially about forgiveness, we want to paint it in this way of like, it's not, you're not saying that what the other person did was okay, but you're saying, I, you know, what you did caused harm, I still want to be in a relationship with you, right? That can be more for that setting of it's someone you still want to be in a relationship with. Or maybe it's not someone you want to be in a relationship with, right? It's like, yeah, I'm done with you, but I forgive you so that I can go on living my life. Does that make sense?
Yes. For me, what keeps coming up is just that phrase that, you know, holding on to resentment is like drinking poison and hoping that it affects the other person.
Whoa.
You know, and that's what forgiveness does. It releases that thread. It releases the power of that other person has on you. And for me, like, also what keeps coming up is just that I've had to forgive myself.
Ooh.
For actions that a younger version of me did that I'm not aligned with. And I've had to forgive myself for those moments where, yes, I wasn't acting according, oof, to my values.
Yes.
But, you know, one of my friends told me, like, you have to forgive yourself. You, yes, have to, you didn't have the tools then. You were making,
yes,
the decision based on the toolkit that you had, and that served a purpose that got you to where you were. Now you have other tools, and now I do use the other tools, but there has, like, I've had to practice a lot of,
wow,
forgiveness. And I'm like, I don't want to butcher it, because I know that Jamie, one of our beautiful staff, always talks about just the holding the appropriate cultural traditions. Right.
Yes.
And there is one Hawaiian meditation, the Ho'oponomo meditation. Again, I don't want to butcher it, but it is about forgiveness. And in that whole practice, it's like about assuming responsibility for your part in that relationship and forgiving them, thanking them, because if they hurt you, they're showing you somewhere where you still need to work. So thanking them for being that mirror, because you hurt me, but it showed me where I still need to heal. And that is a gift to me, because I can't heal by myself. you know, I need others to help me with that.
Yeah, that is so good. This idea of forgiving yourself, that landed so deeply with me. It's the phrase I repeat is forgive yourself for what you had to do while you were in survival mode. That was the best you could do. That was the best you could do back then. And the thing is, if I apply that to myself, then I have to apply that to other people. I'm like, that guy's doing the best he can. Really? Yes, really. That's the best he can do, right? That's the challenging part.
And when you were talking earlier, one thing that came up for me was like talking about the relations and the safety and community was the four agreements, which is one of the four agreements, which is, again, assuming that everyone is doing their best at all times.
It's so challenging, right? It's like, no, I don't want to. But the resistance to that is, I think it's, well, do we want to get into all of the programming us to be separate and divided from each other, you know, and I'm just not interested in that anymore. I'm interested in what's going to help us to enrich our lives. So I took me a second, but I found the Ho'oponopono. It is, I'm sorry, please forgive me, thank you, I love you. And it's just this, it's simple, but it's this very deep practice, and that could be a phrase that you say, you know, over and over. You can say it to yourself. You can have that as a practice of saying to others, but it just like covers everything. You know what I mean? So,
and I was, when I was first introduced to that, and that was like 3 years ago, I could not hear. There was like certain versions where they were like mantras, and I could not, I would skip it. Alexa, skip. I could not. It was just very triggering to me. And then like over the years, and then just like practicing and just hearing that and being okay with that, like it has landed a lot softer in my body.
Mm-hmm.
But again, at first there was this big contraction to that phrase, to that thought.
And was there can you pinpoint a time or a moment where you went from like, no, I'm not doing that, to like, okay, like I can soften a little bit and I can forgive a little bit? Or was it just gradual over time?
It was a gradual over time. Like it was Kathleen from our 333 who kind of brought
that.
Shout out to Kathleen. She always dropping the wisdom. But yeah, she brought it in and I heard it and I was like, oh, I mean, it's cool. I put it on my playlist and then I would skip it every single time. I would not. And then as I continued to meditate, as I continued to practice, and, you know, I started to practice the human values in that time frame. And that has helped. I also love practicing Louise Hay's meditations. And she talks about just like forgiveness, forgiving ourselves, our parents, forgiving our parents that they were doing the best that they could at their time. And there's like a night meditation that I would do for a very long time. She has a morning and a night one on YouTube, super short, but it really helped me with that idea of forgiveness and letting go of that. It wasn't serving me. It just keeps you small. It keeps you in this just limited mindset.
Yes. Yeah. Thank you so much, Lisa. So, so good. I think what I want to say here, and this is what I said to my students literally this week, was we're not telling you what to do, but we're not telling you that you have to forgive. We're just giving options and a different way to look at this idea and practice of forgiveness. At the end of the day, you listening, you decide what you want to do. But we always want to check in with yourself. How are you living? Is the current way you're practicing giving you the results you want, you know, or are you harboring anger, resentment? And you might have to do a little digging, because after a while of having that stuff buried is deep in there, but it'll come up in certain ways in our daily interactions with other things, you know, and you'll get mad about my water bottle, but it's not about the water bottle, whatever it is, right? So we're not interested in beliefs. We're interested in tools. What's the right tool for the job? Is this tool serving you? Yes? Great. Keep using it. No? Find something else that works, right? But everything we're here is always offering. I like to tell my students, This is food for thought. Nothing you have to for you to chew on, but nothing you have to swallow, right?
So it's just this,
yeah, it's just, here's a different way of thinking of forgiveness that is not for the other person. It's for you, so that you can let go of the anger and you can go on and enjoy your life. Yes. Awesome. Thank you so much, Lisa, for now you added so many things. Anything else before we pivot to the thought of the week and the value of the week?
No, I just really, I love what you come back to, the thought of the week, that the forgiveness is for me. Like, ultimately, it is for ourselves. It is to release that energy in our body. It's for us to walk with a little bit lighter, a little bit softer. And it's not for the other person. So you don't have to think about it. And again, if that person is someone who is hurting you, it's a constant thing, then you have the power to forgive and walk away. You can forgive and love you from afar, but I'm not going to continue to be treated in a way that maybe is not the best for me.
So good. Yeah. Thank you for summarizing that. So the main practice that we have as the Human Values Collective is the value of the week. And every week we have an email that goes out with the value of the week and the thought of the week. So I will literally go in front of my class on Monday, and most days, and go, hey, everybody, lovely to see you and be with you. Hope you're having a great day. Hope you know how amazing you are. And then I'll go, through the lens of truth, we're inviting you to practice the value of the week, forgiveness. And our thought of the week is, forgiveness is for me. Let's say it together. One, two, ready, go.
Forgiveness is for me.
And then I'll share a little bit. I shared my story about my brother this week. And then the main thing with education and human values is we want to ask the kids what they think, because adults can fall into the trap when working with kids is you think you're asking them what they think, but really you're wanting to tell them, you know. Or I've seen some teachers and some parents like ask the question, and then when the kid says something, they're like, oh, but not like that, you know, and then that totally shuts down the kid. They never want to talk again, right? So it's super valuable to start. You often, you know, especially when they're a little older, becoming teens, they might need a little bit of a model. So you share a little bit of like, what do you think forgiveness means? Oh, well, I think it means this, it means that, you know, you just listened to this episode, so you have a little bit of context to share this. Oh, there's a different way of thinking about forgiveness. Mm-hmm. And then ask the kid, like, what do you think forgiveness means? Or what was the time that, you know, was hard to forgive? Or with the little kids is like, oh, how did it feel when, you know, Jason took the ball away from you? Shout out to Jason. That was a random name came up. So those are the kind of ways that we can have those conversations with our kids, hopefully when they're still younger, right? And they're learning about these values. And as they grow up and become teenagers, get more independent, become an adult, right? They have this beautiful foundation. And especially with this one, with forgiveness, I think it's something that just sets them up for the rest of their lives.
I was going to say two things that I would love to highlight that when you began to share in your classroom, that the key words that you said was, we invite you to practice.
Yes. Yes.
I love that specific, the invitation,
yes,
and not just practice this.
Oh yeah.
I think that that's very, very just key in any relationship, just inviting again, whether it's advice, whether it's to practice the human values, because when we're just telling them to do something, I feel like the nervous system just shuts down. And then you're like in defense mode. You're like, I don't want to do it. But if you're inviting me, I then have choice and I feel part of the conversation. Mm-hmm. And then the second thing, like you were saying, with don't shut down the kids immediately, whatever their answer is, that's their opinion. That is their answer. But also to leave a little bit of space. And we observed here at the beginning how 30 seconds may feel like a very long time. But for kids, again, wait 60 seconds, 2 minutes, just sit there, just what is forgiveness? And we're just going to wait and not interject, not try to fill in the blank, sit there until they feel their answer, because they're probably just processing. And I feel like children sometimes process a little bit slower. They're really trying to give you a good answer. So just being mindful that ask the question and then just wait.
Yeah, that's so good. In education, we call it wait time, literally. Sometimes I'll even say like, oh, I want Andrew to play number six, but let me remind you about this fret on the guitar, right? And that gives Andrew a little bit of time to like get ready to play, you know? So it's like asking a question and like waiting, and it can feel so uncomfortable and like you're waiting forever, but it is so worth it. You will get more. And then especially with boys, because we all have this conversation of like, oh, boys don't talk, they don't share. But especially with boys, like give them even more wait time. And then they'll say something and then still keep listening after they said it. And they might say a little more, right? It's like, isn't that juicy?
Yes, literally. There's a book called The Queen's Code by Alison Armstrong, another amazing book for all the moms listening. And they literally talk about that, where she says, men, if you're trying to, you know, make a better relationship with your husband, wait, just give the pause. I know for women, we bounce off quick and we want to just come back and forth. But men, again, they really want to process. They're thinking a little, the way that the brain is set up is completely different than women. So being mindful, especially with the younger boys, the teens, to wait and then not interrupting them, letting them finish. And then they will say something like, okay, that's it. That's what I feel. And that's how you know that they're complete with their thought.
Yes. Oh yeah, we use the phrase, right? I am complete. It's like, that's how you know I'm done. Well, you don't have to do all that. I am complete. And that's not, that's, you know, cringy. Oh, it's a little too cringy for me yet. No, but what we do want to invite people into is something that we have recently started creating and distributing at the Human Values Collective. We're super excited about our conversation cards. So now the value of the week comes in the form of a conversation card, and that's an email that goes out every Friday morning. And it is a very short, and you can download it to your phone, you can print it, put it on the fridge, or just have it on the table. And the idea is that we do a Sunday night dinner. And at the Sunday night dinner, after everyone's got their plate and their food, then that can be one of the things that you talk about at dinner is those conversation starters. And it introduces the value of the week, the thought of the week. There's a little blurb explaining, in this case, explaining a little bit about forgiveness. And then there are some conversation starters for elementary age and then for high school age. And it invites the parents to lead by example by going first and sharing themselves and then inviting the kids to share. And it's always an invitation, nothing that people have to do. And the kid can always skip. And that's totally great. We want them to have that sovereignty, right? There's so many things kids don't have control over in their life. So if we give them a little bit of control, we might be surprised that eventually they'll want to share, especially if they see everyone else share, you know? If it's just you as the parent, you're just sharing, or, you know, if you have a spouse, you and the spouse are sharing back and forth, eventually the kid's going to want to join the community, right? Because at the end of the day, we want people want to be a part of something bigger than themselves. And, you know, if they can feel that belonging there, maybe they won't be on their phone so much. Yeah, but who knows? So you can sign up for the conversation card at humanvaluescollective.org right on the front page. Luisa Fernanda, anything to add there?
I was going to say, I just want to share the way that I practice the human value in my day-to-day. When we get the email, I have like a fridge magnet on with my calendar, and it has different little like accessories. And on one of them, I literally just write the value in, so that whenever I'm in the kitchen and I'm walking by, I'm like, okay, this is the value of the week. Forgiveness is for me. And it's just constantly in my field for that week, which I think it's it's a practice. It's coming back to it, and we're going to fall off, and one day we're not even going to remember it. But then you're like, oh, the next day you're like, oh, this is the value of the week. And you'll see how it just, the muscles get stronger and stronger. Like we talk about, it gets easier to forgive. It gets easier to have these conversations. And I completely agree with you that if the children don't want to participate, just continue to do it. And I know for a fact that one day they will show up, and they'll knock your socks off with the thoughts that they have inside of their heads.
Yeah, this is so critical. Thank you for adding this little piece at the end here, that I understand the temptation to want a quick fix. This is not a quick fix. This ain't it. This is something that is going to be a challenging thing to introduce to your family. But once you start it, you keep going, you keep going, and it might be cringe and kids don't want to do it, but that's okay. Like, you do it. Even if they fight you tooth and nail every time you do it, you'll be surprised, like Luisa Fernanda said, 5-10 years down the line, they'll be like, oh, but you know, my mom once said, forgiveness is for me, so I'm going to go ahead and forget. And you'll be like, you were listening? That's how kids work, man.
And not only that, not you were listening. My mom practiced forgiveness is for me. I watched my mom forgiving herself. And that's... it's delicious when those moments come around.
Oh, your example is your greatest teaching. Your example is your greatest teaching. So let's give the kids a good example. Thank you so much, Luisa Fernanda.
I was going to say, I'm super excited for next week. I feel like we should let them know, because I'm like, when you were speaking about the cringe, I know that we have a parent that is very open about their older son and talking about how cringy it was.
All right. Yeah. So we're going to invite for our next episode, Angela Usis from the Usis family. They are our rock star parents, and they actually, the work they did helped in the development of the conversation cards. So we're just super excited to have her on for you all to get to know her and to hear the incredible story about how doing the value of the week every Sunday brought their family closer together. It's really a heartwarming story, and it just inspires me to keep doing the work that we're doing. So be on the lookout for that. Episode 11. Shout out to Anj. We'll be so excited to have you on the show.
Like, I know I've heard the story so many times, but I'm already super excited to listen to that podcast.
Hey, and we might get another little wrinkle we haven't heard before, right?
Yes.
Yeah,
I mean, we always do, right? We have to be skeptical, but we have to learn to listen.
Yes. Oh, I got the fifth agreement. Luisa Fernanda, I had so much fun having this conversation with you. Thank you so much for being on tonight and for adding all of your beautiful wisdom and your story and your energy. It's really an honor and a pleasure to be with you every day.
Abby, thank you. I received that, King. It really is a pleasure for me as well to be here with you, to hear your story, to just hear your truth. And I'm just so inspired by your passion, by this mission that we're on. And it is an honor and a pleasure for me to be here. So for all of those listening, thank you for taking the time out of your day to be here with us, to continue to grow and expand. I'm wishing you all just an incredible day or night, wherever you're at in your day.
Amazing. Thank you so much, Luisa Fernanda. For myself and Luisa Fernanda, I will say, you've made today an amazing day just by you being you. There's no one like you in the whole world, and I like you just the way you are. Have a good time, everybody. Have a great day, and we'll see you next time. Bye. Ciao.